Chapter 11, Interpersonal Communication. Interpersonal communication is defined as speaking and listening to another person in alternation and thinking concurrently. When we say speaking and listening, ideally it is very important to be an active listener. Interpersonal, I-N-T-E-R, interpersonal communication is communication between two or more people. It is strongly influenced by each individual's intrapersonal communication. Intra, I-N-T-R-A. Please note the difference. That is T-E-R. This is T-R-A. Intra. Intrapersonal communication is the thoughts that go on within our mind. For example, you are at work, but you're busy thinking about another project which you have to complete. So, your thoughts in your mind are related to a project which has to be completed. At that moment, you're occupied with another project which has just started. So, there is no link or connection between the two projects, but the thoughts which flow in our mind, they do not have any logical order or a sequence. So, intrapersonal communication is a part of interpersonal communication. That means thoughts that flow within our mind, they may or may not be related to what we are doing at that moment, but then too, the thoughts flow. Communication skills. There are four verbal communication skills. Two are encoding skills, that is speaking and writing. Two are decoding skills, listening and reading. The fifth is the intrapersonal skill. It is crucial to both encoding and decoding. Thought or reasoning and dealing with the emotion or feeling. When we talk of intrapersonal communication, it is linked to reading, writing, speaking, listening. Why? Say I am reading a book, but my thoughts are actually elsewhere. I am worried about completing a project and I'm worried about completing it on time. So, as far as reading is concerned, I may not be focused. Writing, formal communication. Say I have to write a business letter, but I am focused on some other details and aspects. So, as far as written communication is concerned, again, the focus is not 100%. So, intrapersonal communication, the thoughts that go on within our mind, they always or very often somewhere break a link in a thought process which we actually want to put forward. They may be barriers at times. They may be prejudices, biases, preconceived notions, or anxiety or worry, which ideally stops us or creates a barrier for us to actually be focused and complete what we should have completed ideally by then. Thought or reasoning and dealing with the emotion or feeling. The thoughts that flow within my mind, they can be linked to an emotion, they can be linked to feeling. Feeling of anger, for example. So, that's what they are saying. The fifth is the intrapersonal skill. Our intrapersonal communication influences all the encoding and decoding skills. Language skills affects a person's ability to analyze one's own purposes and intentions and the ability to express oneself. Our communication skill deficiencies also limit the ideas that are available to us and limit our ability to think. When we talk of language skill, the way we frame a sentence, the structure of the sentence, is it concise and to the point, or is it written in a manner which is very complex as far as the reader is concerned? Not written in a manner which is easily understood by the opposite person or people. So it depends on the grammar, vocabulary, using minimum words but having a maximum impact as far as the reader is concerned. Language or communication skill deficiencies. For some people, they may say they're not fluent, so the same as far as writing is concerned, find it difficult to frame sentences appropriately. Someone else may say the vocabulary has to be worked upon. So better words, words which are easily understood, words which do not create confusion when expressed, either through verbal communication or through written communication. So these are important communication skills. Clarity of thought will help us to put forward a sentence in a simple manner. Conciseness, conciseness, being to the point. That means reduce the words, but it is yet understandable to the opposite person. Skills for interpersonal communication. The skills needed for interpersonal communication are self-awareness, control over oneself, speaking clearly and pleasantly, good manners and etiquette. Let's take each aspect. Self-awareness. The moment I am aware, how will I be effective in communicating? Say, for example, someone has a short temper, but the moment he or she is aware that he or she gets angry very fast, they realize and they feel this is not the right time or the appropriate time to get angry. So it saves ideally time, because we're not spending time on actually sorting out an issue through arguments or fights. We are seated peacefully and discussing and finding ways and means to resolve a particular issue. Being aware, that means somewhere you're having control over your thought process, which also means you will have control over what you should say, what you should not say, which also means that convey as much as you feel should be conveyed. Speaking clearly and pleasantly, the tone, the pace of words, not going too fast. So neither going too fast nor going too slow. Speaking in a manner which also has a lot of enthusiasm. So speaking clearly and pleasantly. Etiquette, basic manners, how you conduct yourself. For example, telephone etiquette, the tone. Even if a person is angry, the person doesn't need to shout. For example, the person can yet have an assertive tone. Assertive means being firm but polite. Listening, understanding of non-verbal behavior and feedback are skills needed for interpersonal communication. Listening involves four processes: hearing, interpretation, evaluation, response. Hearing, interpretation, evaluation, response. H-I-E-R. When I say hearing, for example, if I've discussed a topic in class and I ask the student to summarize. So, what has a student heard? That will be summarized by the student. Then the student will interpret and put it forward. Evaluate. You make your own judgments, you analyze, and then you respond. Understanding of nonverbal behavior. Nonverbal communication. Gestures, smile, eye contact, body language. All these say a lot. All these give away hints or cues to the other person as to what you're thinking or feeling. Feedback. As we go ahead with the slides, we will discuss feedback. Feedback is a very important aspect of interpersonal communication. Because when we talk of feedback, it is ideally a skill which is a part of interpersonal communication. Self-awareness. Knowledge of one's own attitudes, prejudices and perceptions, and handling of one's intrapersonal communication is required for effective interpersonal communication. Knowledge of one's own attitudes. What is attitude? The way we think, feel and behave. That means my thought processes will make me react or respond in a particular manner. Prejudices, biases. That means at times I can be very biased, for example. So that I should be aware of, because it is very important to have a neutral thought to a situation or an individual. Take for example, A and B are colleagues in an organization. Due to some reason, there is a problem between them. But when it comes to working for the organization, they both leave their prejudices and biases and work as a team. They do not let their thought processes overrule the work. Thought processes in this case may be anger, bitterness, frustration, since they don't get along at all. But keeping in mind the goals of the organization, they let go of their biases and prejudices. Perceptions. We both can be discussing a particular topic, but our thought processes vary. I will think from my point of view, through my knowledge, experience, or experiences. Whereas you will probably have your own thought process, your experiences, the kind of people you've met in life, your interaction. So, a lot of aspects put together. We need to become aware. So, all these aspects are effective as far as interpersonal communication is concerned. Because the moment I realize I'm not biased, it'll help me have a better rapport with the person in my organization. There will be better output as far as completing a task is concerned. Control over oneself. It involves a skill in dealing with intrapersonal communication. Holding one's tongue is difficult, but if you have the ability to maintain peace and keep silent till you reach the right moment to speak, then interpersonal communication will be more effective and you will save yourself a great deal of energy. This ideally is very, very important, because the moment I realize that this is not the right time to speak or discuss a particular topic, since it may create confusion, since there may be a lot of arguments and a lot of time and energy will be spent on resolving this. And as of now, the situation seems to be out of control. So it's best to keep in silence. Speaking at the right time, right place, and assuming that it will not create confusion or lead to a lot of problems. But that only happens when we have adequate control over our thought process. which means I'm able to ideally control what I want to say. That is why they say it involves a skill in dealing with intrapersonal communication, my thought process. I need to have a control over that. I need to be aware. The moment I am aware, it'll save me from the trouble. It is said that when we get angry, we're not aware of what we say. So the lack of awareness, that self-awareness is a very important aspect. Because when that self-awareness is looked into, then there will be control over the thoughts and thus the conduct and the behavior. Speaking clearly and pleasantly. It is a primary requirement of successful interpersonal communication. Varying the voice to avoid monotone. Being brief to the point, asking questions are the tips to keep the listener involved. When we talk of varying the voice to avoid monotone, yes, certain words, we may emphasize more on them. Certain sentences are probably put forward in a more explicit or clear manner so the person will understand and be able to absorb and retain. Also, being to the point, as we discussed before, being concise. All these aspects will keep the listener involved because that kind of enthusiasm, interest should be from the listener's point of view. But a lot depends on the speaker. As far as the tone is concerned, as far as the ability to be convincing is concerned, being persuasive. Good manners and etiquette. Etiquette or etiquette. Manners, as the word suggests. Good manners and etiquette. Knowledge and practice of proper etiquette result in successful conversation. Knowledge and practice of proper etiquette. When you meet somebody, you greet the person. A smile. A smile is actually a universal language. So, greeting the person, say you're talking with the telephone, you greet the person. Once a conversation is completed, you say bye. So, how effectively you're putting it forward in terms of manners and etiquette. Avoid having a loud tone, say when you're talking over the telephone. So a lot of aspects need to be looked into. Introduction. Introductions are the few moments in which critical first impressions are made. When two people are introduced to each other, these are the first impressions. Generally, impressions are made within 20 to 30 seconds upon meeting someone. That means it's hardly just a glimpse, but that sets an impression on the mind of an individual. In business, it is based on hierarchy, ranking. A client always comes before anyone in your organization. An elected official comes before a non-official. Introduce a junior executive to a senior executive. If no one introduces you, just introduce yourself to the other. So look at the way it is put forward. Introduce a junior executive to a senior executive. Very important. And what are they saying out here? That if no one introduces you, then you must introduce yourself. Paying compliments. It is an art, an expression of appreciation. It should be genuine. It should have no other motive than to recognize someone for something special. Ideally, it is appreciating. When we talk of paying compliments, we are actually admiring the qualities of an individual. For example, if Mr. X in your organization completes a project prior to the deadline and continues doing so. So, it is very important to appreciate that It is always completed before time. It should have no other motive than to recognize someone for something special. When someone pays you a compliment, acknowledge it graciously. Sometimes we read or hear or see that people say, oh, it's okay. Well, it's very important that if someone is giving you a compliment, we accept it graciously by saying thank you. So, it is important as far as giving a compliment is concerned, because it feels good to feel appreciated by others in the organization and even otherwise. And at the same time, one should accept it with dignity and graciously. Feedback. Being the most delicate and difficult skills of interpersonal communication, it requires tact, honesty, self-control. Feedback ideally means that you're giving your view or viewpoint. That's why they're saying it requires tact, honesty and self-control. Self-control. I should know exactly what I want to say. There should be no intention or motive to put forward a feedback. Giving feedback or give feedback immediately or soon after the event. Give it in a positive manner. We will be looking ahead when we discuss other chapters that even a sentence with a negation can put forward in a manner without using the negation. That means we avoid words like cannot, not, will not, can't. So we have to realize that we need to give it in a positive manner. Be specific. That means to the point. Neither general nor vague. It has to be very clearly put forward and to the point. One important aspect is that when we're giving feedback, we do not get our emotions involved. We give a feedback just as per what is asked. Give feedback only on the aspects which the person can control and correct. Be sure of your own motive in giving feedback. While accepting feedback, seek and receive it with genuine desire to improve. You have to have that thought process that is, if this is the feedback I am getting, I need to improve. Be non-defensive, listen attentively. If vague feedback is offered, seek clarification and ask for specific instances. Think over the received feedback. So, when someone gives you feedback and the person may be critical of you, I have to be non-defensive. I should not justify my stand. I need to hear the person. I need to be an active listener. I need to think over that these are the areas I need to improve on. If vague feedback is offered, as mentioned, seek clarification. Ask for examples that why is it that the person feels in a certain manner, and can always ask for situations or examples so that you can improve. So we've got to realize that getting feedback, I need to be non-judgmental, non-defensive. When I give feedback, I do not have to have my preconceived notions, biases, barriers. I have to have no hidden motive. I give it with a genuine thought process. I give it in a direct manner. And I give it with the intention so that the person can be corrected or can improve. Assertiveness is reasonable behavior. Being assertive is being neither passive nor aggressive. It is not just a set of techniques. It requires self-knowledge, understanding of one's own skill and limitations, a sense of self-worth and recognition of one's own and other people's rights and responsibilities. When we say it is necessary to be assertive, in most of the situations or depending on the situation, being assertive is being firm but polite. So, it is reasonable behavior. It means that we do not have to get defensive or rude. It is self-controlled behavior. It is conscious behavior. That means somewhere, if the person is aware that the person may get angry, the person decides that it is best to be assertive rather than aggressive. When we say it requires self-knowledge, again, the mind has to be conditioned in that manner that let me put forward these statements in a firm but polite manner. Let me use a particular tone which is neither rude nor polite. It is something whereby the message goes across and it has a tone which can be commanding but not being defensive. A sense of self-worth and recognition of one's own and other people's rights and responsibilities. That means the moment I realize I can handle the situation by being assertive, I do not need to lose my cool. Expressing disagreement without being offensive. Express disagreement without being offensive. That means even if I wish to disagree, I do not hurt the sentiments or feelings of another person. I do not get rude or over defensive. I do not get judgmental. I express my views as to why I wish to disagree. When you disagree, instead of keeping silent or responding aggressively, try positive assertiveness. Say you're a group leader. 10 people in your team request you to postpone the dates as far as submissions of a project are concerned. 10 people request you to postpone the date for a particular project. How do you disagree without being offensive? Alright, all the team members, let's call for tea and snacks. We wind up with the meeting and it will be difficult to postpone the dates. So, the projects have to be submitted by the 5th of September as discussed. Now, when we speak in this manner, we are speaking in an assertive manner. We've conveyed the message that it will not be possible to postpone the dates. At the same time, we've created a bonding in that atmosphere by saying that we wind up with the meeting, we call for tea and snacks. We do not raise our tone. We are speaking in the same tone all throughout. Neither does the body language nor do the words convey expressions of anger, irritation, or any other negative emotion. Summarizing. It is important to summarize the previous speaker's view, especially when one disagrees with it. It is a restatement without any comment and must be spoken in an objective tone without indicating any opposition by tone of voice or facial expression. When we say summarizing, it is ideally for the opposite person to put forward in a summary what has been discussed. When we talk of summarizing, what is the most important aspect? That all the points which are put forward are explained in a concise manner. In this case, if we talk of the speaker and the listener, then the listener will explain in a concise manner. Very important, without indicating any opposition by tone of voice or facial expressions. Even if the listener does not agree to a particular, even if the listener does not agree to a particular point, then too, the listener will not probably show it by or through facial expressions or tone. Closure. Very important. Ending a communication event on a pleasant note is always beneficial for relationships. Style and manner of communication are the basis of relationships and good feeling. The way an event winds up, whereby we communicate to the audience, say it's a public event, we communicate to the audience that we will see them more and more often since we will be having more of these events hosted. When we talk of closure, the ending, very important, because it will have an impact on the mind of the audience, or it will stay in the minds of the audience for a longer time. For example, if it's written communication, the last paragraph, the way the sentences are put forward. So one of the sentences can be, I will be grateful if you will be able to give me the details by the 5th. That will stay on the mind of the reader, and the reader will respond as per that sentence. Johari window. We will now discuss this model, which explains the link between interpersonal and intrapersonal communication. The Johari window indicates the relationship between intrapersonal and interpersonal communication. Intrapersonal communication, thoughts that go on within the mind. Interpersonal communication, communication between two or more people. It shows the four aspects of a person's awareness: open, hidden, blind, and unknown. We will now see the diagram and understand each quadrant of that window. Now, first and foremost, the Johari window. This term, Johari, was coined by two American psychologists, Joseph Luft, L-U-F-T, and Harry Ingham, H-A-R-R-Y. So the word, the name Johari, Joseph, J-O, Hari. It is spelled as H-A-R-I, but his name was Harry, H-A-R-R-Y. They were American psychologists. What did they discuss? This window model, which ideally focuses on aspects like self-awareness, mutual understanding, especially in groups, when people are working together. What is the kind of thought processes which people have? How do they deal with the dynamics in a group? What are the kind of fears, insecurity, or insecurities a person will have while he or she is working in a group? So all those aspects will be discussed. Take the first quadrant, open. The first quadrant, open. Known to self, known to others. A simple example: it is known to you as well as the others, where are you working, what is your job profile. When we say known to self, known to others, say you're working in a group for a project. You know you're putting in your effort. You're working in a manner whereby you know that the outcome will be positive. This is known to others too. So, bonding, cohesion, trust, mutual understanding, open to feedback, all of it will happen. Now, if we number the quadrants, open is 1, blind is 2, hidden is 3, and unknown is 4. If we number the quadrants, open is 1, blind is 2, hidden is 3, and unknown is 4. After open, we go to hidden. Why? When we talk of hidden, not known to others, so it is hidden, but known to self. Why is this quadrant called hidden? Not known to others. Your fears. You're working in a group. You've never shared with anybody that when you're in a group, you find it difficult to express your ideas. You've never shared with anybody that when you express your ideas, you feel someone may make a mockery out of it. So it is hidden. But it is known to self. How does a person move from How does a person go from quadrant 3 to quadrant 1? That means from hidden to open. Self-disclosure. I am willing to disclose to somebody that these are my fears and insecurities. Then I will go from window 3 to window 1. Then I will go from quadrant 3 to quadrant 1. But whom I share my fears and insecurities with, that I have to use my discretion and logic. Whether I'm comfortable, whether the person is trustworthy, all those aspects are looked into. Then we go to blind. Not known to self, known to others. When something is not known to you, but it is known to others, what does it mean? We lack that self-awareness. If we are not ideally knowing something, but others know of it, then I'm lacking that self-awareness. A very simple example. While talking to you, I blink. I continuously blink. I may not be aware, but you will tell me. Why is it you're blinking so much? So I need to be aware. The moment I get aware, then ideally, that thought process will not be in the blind quadrant. And that thought process linked to behavior. Now, here, if I'm talking of blinking, it's not about a thought process. It's about reacting in terms of, say, gestures, body language, but I am blind to it. Then I talk of unknown. Not known to self, not known to others. Unknown. That means neither your peers nor you are aware of this. So, say you discuss with your friend, you got a dream. While you're discussing, you share with her various thought processes. You also come to know that you think in a particular manner. You also come to know certain unique ideas which ideally you never knew of before. So, an unknown thought has come up which you've put into words. Unknown, it was not known to you that you will respond or react like this. As far as this situation is concerned, it is not known to you till then that you are able to probably put forward an idea in this manner. So it's a self-discovery as far as unknown is concerned. All these quadrants explain a link between inter and intrapersonal communication. So, interpersonal and intrapersonal communication are very important aspects as far as communication is concerned, because reading, writing, speaking, listening are somewhere linked to intrapersonal communication. We've completed chapter 11. Thank you.